So many professions are integrating elements from spirituality into their programs today. And this new handbook is all university professionals who, in all these diverse disciplines, are turning to skills from spirituality base, which are able to enhance their disciplines. Like, say, Laszlo Zalani, who is the editor for the book with me. He's coming from a business background. He's an economist. And the whole area of how to develop authenticity within people as leaders is a big question today. How to develop, maybe other people might call it, alignment with values. So we might change our language, but it's fundamentally the same kind of principles, that we are aware that there are wisdom traditions in the diverse religions that have been dealing with these practical ethics, I suppose you could call it applied ethics questions in ways, through the generations. No other handbook exists at this time where so many professions together have published what they're doing. So what happens is maybe the professions don't even know within the university that architecture is looking at this, that agriculture is looking at this, that the food industry and the tourism and hospitality industry are all looking at these questions today. And so we're trying to get people to talk across the professions at this work that's happening in their departments.
There are 51 chapters in this book, this International Handbook on Spirituality in Society in the Professions, and there are 68 contributors. As Bernadette says, you know, a lot of university professors and so on, so it's that level of book. And it's very interesting that we have that number of people of that caliber contributing to this book on so many different kinds of subjects. It shows you the importance, really, that spirituality is acquiring across a whole range of subject areas now in higher education. And it's worth saying, too, that this book, in some ways, I see as a coming to a level of development in the discipline of spirituality, because in 2004, we were involved in organising the first conference in Europe on the academic study of spirituality in Milltown Institute, where we were working at the time, and Bernadette was the main organiser. That was in 2004. And now here we are in 2019 with this book coming out and all these contributors and so on and all these subject areas. So I think there's been a great development over the years. There was a conference in South Africa just before the one in one here in Dublin to be organised. And then after that, we had one in London, which is a kind of a follow-on to keep that momentum going. And there has been now a growth of an international relations committee in the Society for the Study of Christian Spirituality, because it's being increasingly recognised that that society, which began in the United States, it's now much more international from other countries too. But it just shows how widespread and how much of an outreach there is now in the discipline across the world.
Can you tell me what kind of topics then that will be addressed? I mean, it's 2 days, so there's plenty, two and a half days, yeah. Really. So what kind of topics and speakers?
Yes, so the contributors at the conference in Waterford divide in two. I think about 13 of them have written chapters for the book. So they're coming to bring their expertise in spirituality in film, spirituality in literature, spirituality in dance, spirituality in business, spirituality in leadership, spirituality in economics. So that's one collection of authors. And then the others are people who have been working in this field, maybe didn't know about the book and are coming in to make their contribution because they want to network with others that are doing the same kind of work. So we have Comeius University Business School coming, trying to network with other people from business schools. We have Fordham Business School coming, networking again. So it's a networking opportunity for people maybe that are on their own trying to do this work at the moment. So you have people who are just discovering that this is going on, and people who have maybe already done a bit of work by writing the chapter for the book. So it's a blend. And then we have several graduates from the MA in Applied Spirituality, because in general that attracts professionals that are trying to add the dimension of spirituality to whatever their practice is, whether they're in healthcare and nurses adding spiritual care skills, psychotherapy, midwives.
Is the psychiatric profession open to spirituality? Because it seems to be that for a long time they weren't, and there was a real sort of Rubicon between anything religious and anything in that psychiatric area.
Yes, well, the Royal College of Psychiatrists have really worked very hard at this for the last 15 years, both their British and Irish chapters. So Professor Chris Cook has been to the fore in leading this development, and he has a chapter in the book as well.
So has Larry, who's also the co-founder with Chris Cook of the Royal Society for Spirituality and Psychiatry. Larry and Chris really were the main persons possibly behind that development. Chris has a chapter in the book, but Larry is going to be a speaker at the conference. So that's an example of how spirituality and psychiatry are coming together.
And how broadly would we define spirituality for the purposes of this conference?
Yes, yeah, well, I suppose first of all, spirituality has to be understood in what we might call a more anthropological sense, a common human sense, that everybody has a human spirit. In my own classes, I speak very much about the spirit of authenticity, that every human being as a human being is constituted with a desire for authenticity. You can read people's lives as in somehow or another trying to live out that spirit and that desire. So that's one kind of language and one kind of concept which meets people at a common human level. Everybody can sort of use that language of authenticity and that concept of authenticity and feel that they kind of are included. Then, of course, the desire for authenticity in your life can take you in different directions, and people do go in different directions, and some of them into religious traditions, but some not necessarily into any tradition at all, and they're just trying to live a good life, and that for them is being an authentic human being. But for others, then it will take them into, you know, something like the Christian tradition, and the basis say that they believe that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and they see their desire for authenticity and they want to live an authentic life and looking to see how to do it and where to get resources to do it. And this tradition offers this view that Jesus is the person to look to if you want to live an authentic life, and let's see then come to know him more and see how to be guided by him more. But for others, then mightn't be that way. As Bernard has mentioned, one of the co-editors in this, Laszlo Zolnay, he's a Buddhist. There's scope for everybody if they just stay at the common human level, or like trying to live a good life, an authentic life as they understand it. And then also the people who belong to religious traditions or religiously affiliated and who see their authenticity and that and the desire to live an authentic life in those terms. So there's a home for everybody, and spirituality has become a very hospitable place for people, because you're not being obliged to subscribe to a particular institution or religious institution or that religious tradition to be spiritual. And a lot of people today would say that, you know, I am a spiritual person, but I'm not necessarily at home in a particular institution. Whereas if you're doing theology, it's more supposed that you will be coming from a particular tradition and subscribing to a particular tradition. And for some people, especially today with the male clerical church, for some people it's a bit of a turn off, the whole abuse issue and so on has turned people off a bit. So we sometimes get people in our program, in the MA program, coming really who are saying, well, I am a spiritual person, but I have some discontent certainly now with the religious institution which I grew up in, and I'm trying to see how do I keep going as a spiritual person with that discontent, that disaffection. And they feel more at home coming to study spirituality than they do with theology, because they see theology as being more male clerically led and maybe a bit more prescriptive.
And Bernadette, in terms of the people then who will come to this and those who are giving the talks, what do you think that they hope that they would get from this conference? And if somebody was to say, yeah, I'd be interested in that, because it is very new, and I mean, I'd say a lot of people listening would not be aware that any of the professions would be looking at their profession from a spiritual angle. What benefit does it bring, do you think?
Well, you see, I think people can be doing on this journey on their own, and they're looking for companions. So, like, recently I was dealing with an architect about a purely building project. And my first connection with the architect was there was a building that needed some renovation. So we were working through the ordinary things, quantity surveying and all the rest that you have to do for an architectural project. But during the time, we were talking about light and vision and incorporating the local landscape and being sustainable and all of these kind of issues that are part of authentic human living. And out of that, he introduced me some reading that influences his architecture, and it was all got to do with spirituality and architecture. Now, he was on his own. He had no idea that there was a whole movement within architecture around spirituality. He had found this author that influenced how he went about his renovations in buildings. So, like, often, and I introduced him then and said, well, you know that there's quite a movement in Canada around spirituality and architecture. He was delighted, so I could give him some books. And then I told him about the conference. And so now he's able to network with people that are on the same vein. So there are a lot of people individually discovering this journey, maybe through reading or web resources. And this conference is going to provide a forum where people can not simply be on their own on this journey, but actually to find others that have something of the same perspective at this time.
Finally, details of the conference. The book is the Routledge International Handbook of Spirituality in Society and the Professions, and some of the speakers at the conference will have contributed to this book. The conference itself, can people book? Is it open to anyone? How much and just again how they go about that.
Okay, the conference runs from the 16th to the 18th of May, so it's a 2.5-day conference, and it's advertised through Eventbrite, and in Eventbrite, when you click on the tickets, there are ticket options.